I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Former President Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York will soon proceed to opening statements now that a full jury panel's in place. While proceedings continued for a fourth day, outside the courthouse, an unexpected dramatic development took place. A man appeared to set himself on fire. The motive remains unclear. NPR's Windsor Johnston has details.
The man appeared to have set himself on fire in a designated protest area across the street from the courthouse. Videos posted on social media show flames shooting up in the air. The New York Times reported that the heat of the flames could be felt from 100 feet away. It's unclear why the person set himself on fire and what condition he's in. The incident happened shortly after a full panel of 12 jurors and six alternates was chosen in Trump's criminal hush money trial. Opening statements in the case are expected to begin on Monday. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
For a second time this week, President Biden's rallying support from another major union for his reelection campaign. In a speech today to the IBEW Construction and Maintenance Conference in Washington, D.C., Biden referenced his likely general election opponent, Donald Trump, in criticizing those opposed to hiking taxes on the wealthiest Americans.
They learn that paying taxes is for working people, not the super wealthy. They learn that telling people you're fired is something to be laughed about. Not where I come from, not where I was raised. I guess that's how they look at the world from Park Avenue, Mar-a-Lago.
A U.S. official says Israel launched a missile strike on Iran overnight. Iranian media say that an unknown object was shot down over the city of Isfahan and there were no injuries or damage on the ground. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was questioned about the strike by reporters. He would only say that the United States did not participate in an offensive military operation. NPR's Lauren Frey reports from London. Other global leaders are reacting to the news.
UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak says Israel, quote, absolutely has the right to self-defense. But after a speech in central London, he added,
significant escalation is not in anyone's interest. What we want to see is calm heads prevail across the region.
De-escalation was also the word used by several other leaders, from Germany's chancellor to the head of the European Commission to Italy's foreign minister and a spokesperson for China's foreign ministry. Australia, meanwhile, is urging its citizens to leave Israel and the Palestinian territories if it's safe to do so as Mideast tensions rise. And international airlines are rerouting and canceling some regional flights.
That's Lauren Frere reporting. It's NPR News. Workers at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, are on their final day of voting to decide if they will join the United Auto Workers Union. A union victory could build on momentum for membership across the South. A loss could halt the UAW's momentum. Stephen Basaha of the Gulf States Newsroom reports.
Making the case against the union, six Southern governors. They came together to send workers a warning that unionizing could cost the South jobs. The region's attracted hundreds of thousands of auto jobs, in large part because there are fewer unions here. The United Auto Workers pitch? Just look at our recent track record. Last fall, the union went on strike and won record contracts from the big three American car makers, Ford, Stellantis, and General Motors. And Southern auto workers often don't make as much as their Northern unionized counterparts. Ballots will be counted later tonight and will be closely watched, including by Mercedes workers in Alabama. They have their own union election coming up in mid-May. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Basaha in Birmingham, Alabama.
6 weeks of voting have begun in the world's biggest democracy. Millions of people in India are casting ballots in an election widely viewed as a referendum on Prime Minister Narendra Modi's leadership. The Hindu nationalist is seeking a third term in office. A broad opposition alliance is challenging Modi's rule, although it has not formally said who will be its candidate for prime minister if it wins. Voters will decide on 543 members for the lower house of parliament over the next several weeks. The Dow is down 139 points at 37,914. This is NPR.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.